Today what we're doing, though, is we're doing a new sermon series entitled Favorites. And as most of you know, I'm resigning at the end of the year. December 23rd will be my last Sunday here at Richwoods. And as of last weekend, my family, we've accepted the call to take a church in Sun City, West Arizona, and a church called Palm West Community Church. And so I will be moving down there to start there on March 1st, and the family will be moving after the school year. And so, but as we prepare to wrap up our time here in Peoria after 21 amazing years serving this church, we're doing a series called Favorites, and we're looking at some messages that I've preached over the years that were either some favorites of mine or that people in the church have shared were favorites of theirs. Because I think all of us, we have favorite TV shows, we have favorite movies, we have favorite songs, we have favorite books. And sometimes when we have a favorite, sometimes we may read that book more than once. We may watch the movie more than once. And so we're going to go through and sort of relive some of the highlights of the past 21 years. And today, as we begin this series called Favorites, today I want to talk to you about something we did about 10 years ago, and it was called the Crazy Campaign. And at that particular time in our church's history, our church had grown from about 65 people to about 400, maybe 450. And we were meeting in a smaller church facility, about 10,000 square foot, and we had 77 parking spaces, and we were doing three services on a Sunday morning, and many people had to park at the funeral home that was a few blocks away, and then they had to walk to the church because we had no more space. And we had been praying for over a year or two about the Lord opening the door for us to be able to relocate our facility. But we didn't just want to do a traditional model of, you know, moving into a traditional church building, even though there's nothing wrong with that. And what we were hoping for is to find some sort of a location that would be more of a storefront type location. And so we had been looking. And when this property at our Knoxville campus came up for sale, we visited, and very quickly we felt drawn to it. It was about the size we were looking for, and it was obviously on a thoroughfare, and so we were excited. There was only one problem, all right, and that it was not cheap, all right? And it wasn't cheap to purchase, and it wasn't cheap to remodel. But what we did is we had our existing church facility over on Terra Vista, and so we had this building, and we decided to put it up for sale. But as you can imagine, the market for churches is not really booming, all right? And so we had this building, and we found this property, and we knew that we had to make an offer rather quickly. And so we went before our church, and we shared this vision about we have this opportunity to purchase this property, but we haven't sold our current church building yet. But we have to make the decision, and we actually went to a couple of local banks, and one bank wrote us a letter. And this lady from the bank wrote us a letter, and she said, "Are you really sure you know what you're doing? We don't think there's any way that we can ever see this working." And so with that backdrop, we asked our church to pray about it, and we took a congregational vote with all of our members and all of our regular attenders. And 94% of the people said, "Let's take this step of faith. Let's step out in faith and do this." And so we took the vote. And we introduced a fundraising campaign that fall called the Crazy Campaign. And the week after we took our congregational vote, 2 days after, we had another church visit our church. They put an offer within 1 week. And so then we did this fundraising campaign to be able to make the down payment for this facility and to jumpstart the process. And we couldn't pay the whole building off. We still have money on our mortgage that we're still paying, but it allowed us to move into this building and to influence and to jumpstart our ministry to where we are today. And so we did this campaign called the Crazy Campaign. And it's based upon a verse in the book of 2 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul said, if we're out of our mind, if we're crazy, it's for God's sake. Because even in the first century, as Paul had people in the church saying, "Paul, I think you're crazy. I think you're out of your mind. This doesn't make sense." And Paul said, if we're out of our mind, it's for God's sake. And so we called this the Crazy Campaign because we were taking the step of faith to trust God and to step out in obedience. And when it came time for us to actually wrap up the Crazy Campaign and to do our commitments, I spoke a message on a man in the Bible who you could say was a little bit crazy as well, or people definitely thought was crazy in his lifetime. And the guy's name was Noah. Many of you are familiar with the story of Noah. Noah was a man that was a righteous man, the Bible says. As a matter of fact, it tells in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6, verse number 9, it says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with the Lord his God. Moses was a man of great faith. He was a man of righteousness. The Bible says blameless. And in a time that the world was filled with incredible depravity, incredible ungodliness, the Lord spoke to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to destroy the world by flood. And so Noah began the process of actually building and constructing the ark. And everyone around him thought he was crazy. It didn't make sense to anybody, all right? And then the Bible says that Noah began to preach and no one even converted or listened to his message, right? And so as Noah did this and began this process, he stepped out in this step of faith. As a matter of fact, this week I came across a little cartoon about Noah and the ark, where as many of you know, Noah built the ark. I love this cartoon here. It says all the animals two by two, and it has all these turkeys. It says, why are we the only ones that get to bring more than two, all right? Which is sort of appropriate for Thanksgiving. But Noah constructed the ark in obedience to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to collect two of each animal and as an act of obedience to me. As I think about the story of Noah, there are three things I want to share with you today about stepping out in faith. Because here's the thing. The crazy campaign marked a time in our church's history where we corporately as a congregation took an outrageous step of faith to trust God and to do something. And because of that, our church has had a significantly greater footprint in our community, and hundreds of lives have been touched and changed, even as you saw the testimony this weekend of Marilyn who were baptizing. God has used our church greatly because we chose to obey him and step out in faith. But let me tell you something. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you trust him in your life, there will be times and there will be seasons that God will ask you to do things that do not make rational sense. It doesn't happen every day or every week, but there are specific moments in life where God will speak to us and say, I'm asking you to do something in obedience to me. And Noah is an example of a person who heard that call and actually followed in obedience. Three things I want to share with you about Noah. The first is this. Noah did what he knew he was supposed to do. Now, the key phrase here is he did what he knew he was supposed to do. All right? He wasn't just moved by emotion. He wasn't, a little impetuous personality that was always making rash decisions, all right? This wasn't some immature step of faith that he steps out and asks God to bail him out in. This is a person who knows that God is speaking to him. He knows, and I can't tell you what that looks like, but if you've ever had where you feel like through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through community, if you ever have had the experience where you believe that God is speaking to you, you know what I'm saying to you. And Noah had one of those moments where he knew that God was speaking to him. And when he knew what God was speaking to him, Noah obeyed and did what he was supposed to do. And let me tell you something, it was no small task, all right? When the Lord said, Noah, I want you to build this ark, all right? It hadn't started raining yet. Noah had to walk by faith. He had to trust that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. When the Lord said, I'm going to destroy the world by flood, it was a beautiful sunshiny day, probably. And Noah had to trust the Lord. And not only that, Noah, listen, you know what? I mean, I think they were in the works yet, but Home Depot was not yet constructed yet. So Noah had to go get all the materials, had to cut down everything. He had to do all the prep work. He and his boys had to actually construct this. This was a lengthy project. As a matter of fact, we read in the scriptures that the ark was 450 feet long. That's 1.5 football fields. We read that the ark was 75 feet wide, and it was 45 feet tall. So as Noah stepped into this, this was not just some, weekend project. We're going to gather the lumber up at our favorite hardwood store, and we're going to put together the plans, and we're going to build this little shed. No, this was a major undertaking at a time when we don't have the resources and the tools that we have today. But when he felt that God was speaking to his heart, Noah steps out in obedience, and he begins to construct the project. He begins to do this thing that God's asking him to do. And once again, day after day, month after month, and probably year after year, as he's gathering materials, he's putting it together, as he's building, and people are mocking him, what are you doing, Noah? You're building this boat. What are you thinking? Noah has to persevere, even though the rain has not yet come. Not only that, the Bible tells us that Noah preached a message of righteousness. He called the people to repentance. And as he was preaching, no one converted. Now, it's much easier to obey God when we see the outcome. It's easier to obey God when we do something and we're seeing results immediately for what we're doing. But sometimes God calls us to obey and there's no guarantee that what we're doing is going to work out the way that we want. And sometimes God calls us to step out and do things and we don't see the results of our actions. And so Noah is building the ark. He's preaching a message of righteousness and repentance, and no one, the Bible says, no one outside of his family is converting or taking his word seriously. It tells in Genesis chapter 5 that Noah did all that God commanded him. Right? That little three-letter word is a big one. Noah did all that God commanded. Not some, not a little, not even most, but Noah did all that God commanded. The Bible is filled with example after example of men and women that were called by God, and the Bible says they did this and they did this, but they did not do that. This is the story of many of the kings in the Old Testament, the kings of Israel. For example, Asa in 1 Kings 15 says that Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all of his life, but he did not remove the high places. There was an asterisk next to a name. And the Bible is filled with men and women. And I think even our lives can have an asterisk next to them too often, right? But they did not. And yet when it comes to Noah, the Bible says that Noah did all that God commanded him. He stepped out and he obeyed. I remember specifically when it was going through the crazy campaign. I remember specifically one day when I was walking, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me about what our family's financial commitment was to be to the crazy campaign. And I remember thinking, Lord, I can't do that. It was scary for me to do. Right? This past summer when I felt like the Lord was telling me that it was time for me to resign from Richwoods, it was scary. Still scary. Scary for my wife, scary for my kids, scary for me, scary for our church, scary. But sometimes when God speaks to us, even if it seems crazy, even if it doesn't make sense, we look at Noah and we realize that Noah obeyed. He did all that God asked him to do. But second of all, not only did Noah do all that God asked him to do, but we read that Noah finished what he started, right? In other words, he did what God said, but then Noah persevered and he stayed with it. And the Bible is filled with men and women who did this because, see, sometimes God calls us to do things without giving us assurance, and sometimes we get our feet in the water, but we don't jump all the way in until we are guaranteed to know what's going to happen. Or sometimes we expect that God's going to give us this sort of emotional burst of energy to follow through. But the Bible is filled with men and women who were called to obey God. And as they stepped out to obey God, all right, they were filled with emotion. In many cases, they were filled with fear or anxiety or second guessing. And walking by faith, trusting and obeying God is not just saying, well, I'm going to do it when I feel like it. I'm going to do it when I know that it's going to work out. But it's actually obeying in spite of fear or insecurity. Moses was afraid, all right, to go back and to confront Pharaoh. Jeremiah was afraid to confront the people as a prophet. Elijah had fear. Gideon was definitely afraid. Saul was afraid. Abraham was afraid to trust God. Listen, the Bible is filled with very spiritually godly people that had fear on the inside, but yet they still chose to obey the Lord. Now, we do not read that Noah was afraid, but what we do read is that he obeyed and did everything that God asked him to do, and then he finished what he started. Now, finishing what he started was not just constructing the ark, because after he constructed the ark, then the Bible says that Noah had to gather two of each animal. Noah had to get them together. He had to get them on the boat. And the Bible says that 7 days, this is another act of obedience. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Noah gathered all the animals in the ark 7 days before it started to rain. Now you think about this for a moment. Noah thinks he hears God's voice and he commits to building the ark. Then he gathers the animals and he puts them up inside the ark. And then he goes to bed and wakes up, and it's still sunny. And for 24 hours, there's sunshine. And then he goes to bed and he wakes up the next day and it's still sunshine. Do you think that during that 7-day period of time that maybe there were moments of doubt, there were moments of second guessing for Noah? You know, do you think that maybe there are people outside the ark that are mocking him? We do not know for sure, but the Bible does not tell us that the Lord was speaking to Noah, that the Lord was comforting Noah. It just tells us that Noah was obeying and waiting on the Lord. And it tells us in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16, the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. So now Noah goes in the ark and he waits for 7 long days. People on the outside are going, man, this guy really has lost his mind. This guy is complete. Listen, what are you doing, Noah? And I'm quite sure that Noah, if he's anything like you and I listening to this message, I'm quite sure that there was probably some moments where Noah himself had some doubt, some second guessing. But part of the reason that we celebrate Noah as a man of great faith was that Noah obeyed and persevered even when it got tough. He finished what it was that God asked him to start, even when it did not seem plausible or likely, even though it was not making sense. Several years ago, I watched a video on TV, on the internet, of a young girl named Claire Marquardt. And Claire Marquardt was a cross-country runner in Ohio. And her junior year in high school, she did not qualify for the state. And so she went and she watched the state cross-country finals. And as a part of that, she committed herself with the goal that she was going to run in the state finals in cross-country her senior year. And so she trained, worked very hard. And surely enough, she qualified for the state finals. And in the state meet, she was running at the 1-mile marker and at the 2-mile marker. She was beating her personal best time. And not only was she beating her personal best time, but she was running in the top 50 in the state meet. And as she approached the finish line, about 400 feet from the finish line, she heard a crack in one of her legs and she continued to run. And then at about 200 feet, she heard another crack in her left leg. And little did she know, but her tibia had given way. And inside of about 100 feet, as she gets closer to the finish line, her leg has a loud pop sound and her tibia actually breaks and she falls. But she does not yet know, or no one around her knows, that her leg is broken. And so the crowd is cheering as she's running towards the finish line and her teammate says, come on, Claire, get up. And thinking about all of her goals and aspirations, the video is, it's really tough to watch. Because she's so focused on trying to finish the race, she gets up and she takes a couple of more steps within about 50 feet of the finish line. And at this point, her tibia is fully broken, or her tibia, and then her other one, her fibula, breaks as well. And the noise of the leg breaking, people can hear it. She collapses on the ground on all fours. And here this girl is with both of the major bones in her left leg completely snapped. She crawls as fast as she can across the finish line. And then her coach picks her up and carries her to get medical attention. It was an inspiring, moving story about someone who was focused on a goal and someone who gave their best to finish. And our lives are not a sprint. The Bible says that the race is not to the swift or to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. Our life is not a sprint, it is a journey. And when God leads us and calls us to do certain things, Noah reminds us that we need to step out and obey and trust. Because one of the things I can promise you is this. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, when you read the Bible, we read about people that were called by God, and never is it perfectly easy from start to finish. And God does not promise us that it is going to be easy from start to finish. Sometimes it's going to be difficult, and sometimes it's difficult because we've messed it up, and sometimes it's difficult because of other things that have happened or other people haven't cooperated, and sometimes it's difficult for a variety of reasons. But my friends, God never promises us that if we just obey Him, that it is going to always be smooth and easy. Even Jesus, who was called into this world as the Son of God, had to endure persecution and ultimately suffered a horrific and painful death on a cross. And if Jesus was called into the world and he had to endure suffering and challenge and hardship, if he had to be tested and tempted, don't you know that we will as well? But Noah reminds us that having sort of crazy, outrageous faith, trusting God and obedience, it's not just bursting and jumping out of the gate and saying, listen, I'm going to finish this race. Sometimes it means giving our very best, even if we're only crawling across the finish line. The Lord shut Noah in, and Noah continued to trust and wait upon the Lord, even though it was hard. And then thirdly, when I look at the life of Noah, I realize that Noah didn't just do this for himself. He did it to truly honor God. Now, when we honor somebody, we are recognizing them, we are celebrating them. It truly is about that person and not about me. If I truly want to honor somebody, I'm doing something to bless them or to serve them or to celebrate them, and I'm doing it for their sake, not for my sake. Now, many times, what do? We make it about us, don't we? It's about what I want, what I need. Why am I not getting this or that? But Noah did all of these things. Noah obeyed God, not for his own sake, but he did it truly to honor the God of the universe because he truly believed in the God of the universe. And he realized that his life was not his own, and he was trying to honor God with his life. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says that after the flood had ended, after what was like 150 days, Noah came out together with his sons, his wife, and his wife's son, and his sons' wives. And then in Genesis 8, 20, it says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of all the clean animals. He sacrificed burnt offerings on it. And the Bible says, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. After Noah obeyed, the Bible says one of the first things he does when he gets out of the ark is he builds an altar to the Lord. An altar is a place of worship. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place to recognize God for who God is. It's a place to honor God. The Bible tells in the book of Revelation chapter 5 that the 24 elders and the angels are before the throne of God singing, holy, holy, holy. And it tells us that they're proclaiming before the altar, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and praise. And those that have gone before us, those that are in the presence of the Lord, are able to give God worship and adoration. They're able to break into a realm, a reality that we have not yet gone into. But on this side, we also need to make a choice. Are we going to honor God with our lives? Because part of the reason that we obey God, part of the reason that we step out in faith is not because we have absolute proof, not because it's easy, and not because it's about us, but truly it is to honor the God of the universe who loved us and gave his life on the cross for us. You know, this time of year, I always think back of one of my favorite stories of honoring God. It occurred in 1989. When a baseball pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers named Oral Hershiser was pitching in the World Series. And Oral Hershiser had a tremendous year that year. He was Cy Young Award, and he was an MVP in the playoffs, and he was in the World Series. And during the last game of the World Series, he was pitching an incredible game. And he was in the dugout between innings, and the camera zoomed in, and they showed a picture of him in the dugout with his eyes closed, his head back, and his lips were moving. And they're speculating about what he's doing. Is he talking to himself? Is he charging himself up? And the Dodgers went on to win that game, and they won the World Series, and Oral Hershiser was the MVP. And after the World Series, he was invited on the Johnny Carson show, who, you know, before Jimmy O'Fallon and before, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and O'Fallon, you know, before these shows, Johnny Carson was really the main talk show in the evening. And Johnny Carson had Oral Hershiser on his show. And so during the course of the interview, talks about everything. And then he says, now, Oral, one of the things we noticed that was all highlighted is that you were in the dugout, you had your eyes closed, and you were like talking to yourself. And Oral Hershiser said, I wasn't talking, I was singing. Johnny Carson says, what were you singing? He said, I was singing the doxology. Johnny Carson said, would you sing it for us? And Oral Hershiser says, okay, I'll sing it. And right there on television, he began to sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. And as he sung the doxology on the Tonight Show, He didn't do so because he was trying to push his religion down other people's throats. He wasn't doing it to try to gather attention to himself, but it was something that happened very organically out of his heart, because in that moment in the World Series, Hershiser was doing it because his heart was really in that place. Even on the mound, pitching in the World Series, he was trying to honor God, and he was so in commune with the Lord at that time that even the dugout, with all the chaos, he was able to sing to himself, oblivious to everyone else. And one of the more beautiful moments about that experience was that a few years later, when Johnny Carson retired from late night television, the very last clip on his final show is he chose to play the clip of Oral Hershiser singing the doxology. He said it was one of the most moving moments he ever had on his television show. That is a story of someone who chose an athlete who says, it's not just about me. I'm the MVP. I'm the stuff here. It was about someone who was truly trying to honor God with his life. And the Bible tells us that Noah, as he obeyed the Lord, that Noah also was doing this as an act of obedience, but he also was doing this to honor and to glorify the Lord. My friends, each and every one of us are going to be called in life to sometimes do things that are hard, things that may not make sense, things that other people may say, are you out of your mind? And when we have those moments, we need to be really sure, like Noah, that it really is the Lord speaking to us. But when we believe that we're hearing God's voice, we believe it through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through community, that God is speaking to us, we must be willing to step out, even if it's crazy to everyone else. The Bible tells us later in the book of Genesis that after Noah obeyed, the Bible says that God blessed Noah. And my friends, when we obey the Lord, God will bless us. It's not always an easy journey to get there. But when we obey, God is honored and God will bless us. And I pray that he gives all of us as individuals the courage that our church was able to take a little over 10 years ago to make a crazy campaign, to step out in faith and to advance his message in our community and beyond. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your word. We thank you for messages like the one we read about Noah. And I pray, dear Lord, that as you speak to us as individuals, I pray you help us to obey. I pray, dear God, that as you speak to our church, as we contemplate the next senior pastor of Richwoods Christian Church, that you lead us to the right person that will take our church into the future. I pray, dear God, for my family during this time of transition that you bless and provide. And Lord, I pray for all of us in this room. Lord, help us, dear God, to truly find the courage to obey you, to finish what we start, and to honor you in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.